Praise the King. Good to have all of y'all today. Praise the Lord. Got a couple. Hello there, brother. How you doing? Good, Benjamin. Good, good. Praise the Lord. Got a couple of little announcements today before we get started here. I'm going to read to you the schedule. The service schedule through Sunday, November the 25th. Now, Sunday afternoon services, they will continue to be right here at same time, 2 to 4, until the end of November, November the 25th. And the second Saturday will be a healing school here for this month, October and November. And then after that, the Sunday, December the 2nd, the first Sunday of 2007, that will be the dedication service and the potluck dinner at our new church building at 7417 Faith Lane in Argyle, Texas. So we will be here through October, November, and we're building our own. And we're going to have it where we can have service in it by the first Sunday in December. I've had a deadline schedule as an engineer. I worked deadline schedules all of my life. You know, a company would come in and they'd take in some business with us, and the VP would call me and say, Thurman, in 3 months we got to have that building in Kansas City or in Houston or wherever. It's got to have this, 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 and this done, and you have 3 months to do it. And at first I thought, you know, these guys are asking for the impossible. But you know, I happen to think, I'm attached to the impossible providing God. He can do anything. And so He's my Lord. So I always go to prayer and ask the Lord to do great and wonderful things. And I never, not one time ever, missed a deadline. I was either right on time or I was early. God never let me miss a deadline. And they saw what I was doing, and some of the things they done, they kind of pushed me on some of them then to think, well, let's see if he can go beyond that. And we always did. We always did. So, Sunday, December the 2nd, will be our first service in our building at Argyle, Texas. And, of course, it's going to be on Faith Lane, you know. Can you think of a better name for a street than Faith Lane? Now then, you may wonder, how did he get to live on a street by the name of Faith Lane? I named it myself. Isn't God good? I got to name my street. So praise the Lord. It wasn't hard for me. What ain't? Oh, yeah, and no more Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday night Bible study for all of you. Now, we've had the last one until we get in the new building, because I don't have the time on Tuesday afternoon to get ready and then drive down here and then have Bible study and then get home at midnight like I always do and then get up early the next morning and go back to work. So there won't be no more Bible studies on Tuesday until after we get in the new building. After we get in the new building, then there will be Bible studies again. And we may do a lot of things. In fact, that church we just came from, we were in Baltimore Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we got up there Wednesday afternoon, and we had a service at 7 o'clock. And then we had another one at 10:30 the next morning. And then another one at 7 o'clock that night. And another one at 10:30 Friday morning. And then another one at 7 o'clock. So Brother John, he believes in getting his money's worth out of you when he brings you to Baltimore. But I will have to say, especially the Friday evening at 7 o'clock, it was a standing room only service. You know, his whole church was packed. You know, I mean, they were sitting in the aisles, down the hallways, and everything else. We really had a full house. But anyway, praise the Lord. I guess I might say, does anybody have a testimony you want to give today? You know, we'll see if anybody has a testimony. Okay, young lady, praise the Lord. Come up here. We'll let you tell us what Jesus done for you. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You look beautiful today, young lady. Praise the King.
Praise God. I just have to praise God. Some of you know my testimony. that the Lord has healed me, set me free from seizures.
Amen.
I used to have grandma's seizure like 3-4 times a year, and I used to have the partials like every 3 minutes. So, and it dawned on me last week, I have to spend at least probably about half of my vacation time at home in sickness, whether it's the flu or gout or what have you. And it dawned on me, I have not had a sick day out this year.
Amen.
Since,
praise the Lord.
Since I started under this ministry and really digging into the Word, when any little sneeze, I say, okay, devil, where are you going with this one? I don't need it. I don't receive it.
Amen.
I said, this body is going to glorify God.
Amen.
It's not going to manifest any more of your garbage, so get out with this. And I have time off now. I don't know what to do with it because I have not been sick.
Amen.
Where I have to stay home.
Amen.
And I said, I just have to praise God, and I'm still free from seizures.
Amen.
And I just, March of this year was the last time I took a seizure medicine, the last time I take a high blood pressure medicine, and I'm telling you, God is still working wonders.
Amen.
And I just want to praise God. And most importantly, I'm not going back to doctors, so I'm saving over $400 a month.
Amen.
in medication and doctor's visit.
Amen.
So I just praise God for all His wonderful work towards me and this ministry.
Amen.
We're going to have to drive a little longer, but praise God, to get to Justin, it will be worth it.
Amen.
Praise the King.
Wait a minute, Ruby, before you go away. The old enemy, if you don't watch him, he'll snuggle up beside you like this and put a pain on her this week and say, what do you think you got this time? You know what she's going to say?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's right. No more in Jesus' name. Right, Ruby?
I've been healed 2,000 years.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Is that great or is that great? I mean, to tell you, that's wonderful. Same thing happened to me. Anybody else got another testimony before we go on with the Word? Okay, going once, twice, three times. That's it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me turn that thing off. Let's get into the book of Romans, chapter 5. Start with verse 1. We're going to show you some things in Romans chapter 5 that it's good stuff. In Romans 5:1. In the King James, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Now, you got to remember, you got to know this is yours. Just like Ruby, she'd been a Christian a long time, but you notice she'd been sick for a long time. And she finally got a hold of what it really meant to walk in faith and what Jesus had done for her. And so she finally put her foot down and said, no more in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And no more sin in Jesus' name, no more sickness in Jesus' name. And she hasn't been sick. By whom also we have access by faith. You can't get in there, no other way. You can do you can take the biggest gun you got and try to shoot your way into God, but you can't get there. There ain't nothing will get you there except faith in the Word of God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. Everybody wants to get into the glory of God. Everybody wants to get in there where Ruby's at. Don't they, Ruby? Everybody don't want to be sick no more. No. Praise the Lord. Okay. Next couple. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. That's got to be a misprint. We don't glory in tribulations well at all. We fuss a lot when tribulation comes. I saw Cheryl up here a while ago praising God for another test. Praise God for another test. That's not normal for us, is it? As human beings, we want to fuss instead of glory in tribulation. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, I used to pray for patients that all kinds of devastating things started coming upon me. And I thought, what is wrong, Lord? I didn't have all these problems. And I didn't realize, I never did put the two together for a long time. I'd been praying. Somebody told me I needed more patience. I said, okay, Lord, I ask you to give me more patience. Bam, bam, trials and tests begin to come all over the place. Well, you know, I'm the kind of guy, you know, well, God, I want this patient, but I want it right now. You know, I ain't got time to wait. I got to fuss a little bit. That sound pretty normal?
Amen.
I certainly wasn't glorying in my tribulation. I wasn't doing what Cheryl was doing a while ago. Lord, we thank you for another test. I wasn't doing that at all, I'll tell you for sure. It's easy to grumble and complain instead of glory and tribulation, because we know that tribulation worketh patience. And then patience brings experience. And then experience, hope. You think God knows what He's doing?
Amen.
And He's trying to tell us, isn't He, Keith?
Yes, sir.
We don't listen too well, do we?
Sometimes we don't.
Let's go to the next couple. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I'm going to add something to that. This is Scrivenerology. If the love of God is shed abroad in mine and Ernest's heart, then we should be able to love all the brethren. Right, Ernest? We can love the brethren. Praise God. And if the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in your heart, you can love your brothers, right?
Yes, sir.
Even when they ain't good to you.
Even when they're not good to you.
Is that easy? Oh, no, that ain't easy. It's a choice. Every day, you know. And it depends on where you are in your walk with God. You know, am I going to love the brethren? In fact, here a while back, I was with a group of men and pastors. They were all pastors, four or five of them. And they was talking about people in their church. I mean, this girl, I just can't love this girl. I mean, you know, she's got a problem, you know. Or this guy, you know, and they're talking about this and everything, and they're talking about the problems they got with the people. And I said, I got you guys' answer. What? I said, all you guys need to get saved.
Yeah.
What do you mean, though? We are saved. I said, well, you ain't acting like it. I said, the Lord says it. The love of God, once we get saved, we have this wonderful hope. And He says, once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, now the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, so we can love the brethren.
Amen.
I ought to be able to love you no matter how mean you are to me. No matter what I said this morning or last night or yesterday or last week or last month or how mean I was to you, you ought to be able to love me.
Amen.
Sometimes we have to think about that, don't we? Uh-huh. Yeah. We have to think about that sometime. Okay, God, I'm going to love Him if it kills me. Sometimes it will. Sometimes it will. Now, is the love of God shed abroad in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Are you a born-again Christian?
Yes.
You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Is the love of God shed abroad in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Can you love each other?
Amen.
Well, then act like it. Act like it. You know? Don't go out of here and say, well, okay, God, I'm going to love them, but as soon as church is over today, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to talk none of that much. Yeah, sure, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. You're listening to the devil. You ain't listening to God, that's for sure. Oh, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for you. Now, I'm telling you, this is the love of God. Let's see what those next two verses say. For scarcely or rarely for a righteous or a good man will one die. Yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet those wicked sinners, He sent the Savior to die for you and me. You tell me I'm going to have to send my son to die for one of you scoundrels? Anybody in here got a one and only son, and you took you forever to get him, and you love him with all your heart, and you're going to give him up for me? No. They ain't, none of y'all got that kind of love in your heart. Don't you even lie to me and tell me you have. You say, well, Thurman may be a pretty good guy, but I ain't giving my son for him. No, that's the way we feel, isn't it, Jack? But see, when we was wicked, now this is beyond my comprehension as a man. That's another thing I just can't fathom about God. God knew how wicked, Wendy, God knew how wicked me and you was going to be in our whole life. He knew all the shortcomings we were going to fall to, didn't he? And he paid that price for you and me anyway, girl. Isn't that something? Whoa. Aren't we grateful?
Yeah.
Now then, you can take up your cross and you can make it. You can love. You can love because He said so.
Amen.
But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet wicked sinners, Christ died for us. Put your name in there. He died for me, for Thurman,
Amen.
When I wasn't even saved. And think of the people on this earth that He died for that's wicked and slander His name and everything else. And they ain't never going to serve Him. They don't even believe He's real. And just think, He died for them just like He did you. And at any time, any one of them could come to Him and their whole life could be transformed and changed, and they could be made a new creature in Christ. The gift's free. But many of them will elect to die and go to hell instead of making Jesus Lord of their life.
Amen.
Yeah? Wow, how sad. Next couple. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, we walk in obedience to that word. I mean, there's so many places in God's word where He says He will deliver us from the wrath. Now then, if we can walk where He tells us to walk, I don't care what happens on this earth. You can live it here with no fear. You know that?
Amen.
If you're walking in obedience to God's word, He has promised you so many places in this book that no sickness will come upon you. No devastation will hurt you. He'll send His angels and give them charge over you to protect you. And many times, I don't even remember how many times, I went into the Word of God here a while back and looked up, fear not. And it was awesome how many times He said, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, fear not, fear. Hundreds of times the word fear not is used in the King James Bible. So why do we go around fearing all the time about everything? Why do we have all this fear? It's something. He told us not to fear, didn't He? He said, oh, I know why maybe we're in such fear. Maybe we know we're sinning. And maybe we know if He comes back, He's going to bring the switch with Him. I don't want the switch, do you? Now then, if a child is yours and you've promised them if they do something wrong, you're going to give them a spanking, when you come home, they're in terror when Daddy walks in the house. Even before, they won't even come close to you. You know, animals are the same way. You know that? I thought last night I left. Yesterday when I came home from Baltimore, little Angel, she come running, jumped up on me, and she just licking all over me and everything else. She's just wagging her tail. She's the happiest little critter. She's running around looking for Mama. Where's Mama? I told her, I said, Mama didn't come home yet. She's out working tonight, but she'll be home in a little while, 2 or 3 or 4 hours. So no big deal. Well, when Mama finally got home last night, she says, I went to get her. I saw Angel. She said, where's my dog? I said, what? She's here somewhere. I saw her. Man, she walked through the house. She walked through the office. She walked in the back. She walked over to our house. She walked everywhere. And she can't find the Angel nowhere. She said, you must have let her out. I said, no, I didn't let her out. She didn't go out when I went out. I know better than that. But she couldn't find her. She looked everywhere and said, she's not here. I said, okay. So I start walking, looking in every office. I go back in the back office. There is, she is in Sharon's office with a bas- trash basket turned over on the side with all the paper tore all to pieces. I said, Angel, you need to come out. Mama's here. She didn't move. She just lay on the floor. I said, you know you're in trouble with me already, don't you? She's in fear because she knows I've told her, don't you get them trash cans. I've swatted her on the backside a couple of times when she... I said, quit that. Don't you tear up that trash can no more. But every once in a while, she'll do it again. And when she does it, when I walk in, she just hunkers down on the floor. She's in fear because she knows she's done something wrong. I see, you and me have no fear when we know we've done nothing wrong with God, right? When the king walks in, we ought to be able to run over and jump up in his arms. That's the way we should be able. There should be no fear, none whatsoever. We know we're walking obedience to his word. We know how wonderful and compassionate, loving and kind he is. And if he sent his son to die for us when we were a wicked sinner. Oh man, now that we've accepted him as Lord and Savior. And especially if we're obeying his commands. Wow. We're saved from the wrath. For if when we were his enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That should make you and me want to obey the word of God. I mean, we shouldn't even think about having an evil thought in our head. We ought to want to walk holy and obedient to the word. Okay? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we know the price has been paid for our sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. Has anybody got out without sin?
No.
Next couple of verses. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Isn't that true? You know, I mean, I think about we drive on the Autobahn in Germany and there's no speed limit. I mean, if you want to drive 150, you can. Boy, I will say, I lived over there for a couple of years. And I will say, when they have a wreck on that Autobahn, man, it's a terror. In fact, we stopped at, I think it was Dusseldorf. We brought a DC-8 in up there, and we had to drive a car back to Frankfurt. And they gave us a almost brand new Mercedes. I guess they rented it. And we were going to drive it back so we could pick up another airplane in Frankfurt. And I was sitting in the back seat. You know, I mean, I'm used to driving in Texas, you know, so, you know, we drive 60, 70 miles an hour. And the telephone poles are going by like fence posts. I looked over, the guy was driving, and he's driving 120 miles an hour. I thought, man. And I looked up in front of us, and there's a little guy driving about 70. And we're rapidly closing on him. And so I'm just sitting in the car and looking. I thought, well, you know, just two lanes. I said, boy, he's going to have to go around him. So just as he starts to go, pulls out to go around him, a Porsche about 150 went, whew, almost hit us. I mean, he wasn't going, we was going 120 miles an hour, and this guy went, whew, just barely missed us. I mean, I would have swore he took the paint off the side as he went by. Boy, that captain whipped that thing back over. And, of course, the car's doing this, you know, and he finally gets it stabilized. I told him, sir, we're only about 50 miles from Frankfurt, aren't we? He said, yeah. I said, pull off the side of the road. He said, what for? I said, I'm going to walk. I said, I don't mind going 120 miles an hour on the runway or up in there, but on this highway, I don't feel comfortable. He said, well, Thurman, we can't take the airplane if you don't go with us. I said, well, I said, then you're going to have to slow down. He said, well, how fast is okay with you? I said, no more than 70 miles an hour. He said, good grief, that's crawling. I said, okay. That's okay. If you're willing to drive 70, I'll ride with you. If you're not, then we ain't going to take that airplane because I won't be there till in the morning. So, you know, so whatever. He said, okay, I'll drive 70. So he did. Or what another word said, from there to Frankfurt. They just drove 70 miles an hour. I don't feel comfortable driving down the road at 120. And especially when there's somebody else driving 150 on the same road. But still to this day, now that was 40 years ago. But, I mean, we were just over there last year, and they still have no speed limit on the Autobahn. You know, people drive just as fast as they want to. So, it's, wow. Until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So, if you're in the state of Texas, and you're driving on one of our freeways, and you're driving 90 miles an hour, you're breaking the law. But over there, if you're on the Autobahn, there is no law, so you can drive 100. 120, no law. yeah, that's true. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, even though there was no law, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Isn't that amazing? That even though there was no law, they still died. Next couple of verses. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, those people died because of whose sin? Adam's. There was no law. But he was given a law. Don't eat of the fruit. And what did he do? Ate of the fruit. He obeyed his wife rather than God. Now, it's amazing, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So because of what one man did, how many of us can be saved today? Everybody in the whole world can be saved. Well, why aren't more of them saved? I'll tell you why, because you and me are not doing a very good job of telling them about it. We're not talking to people about Jesus. If I were to ask you today, and I would hope you wouldn't be where I was, but the first 25 years of my Christian life, I am now a Sunday school teacher, a deacon in a Baptist church. I go to church every time the doors open, and you say, well, how many of you won to Jesus? 25 years I'd been a Christian, never led nobody to Christ. You think the king was happy with me when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel? I don't think he was. You know, he told me not only to go into the world, he gave me a demonstration of what I'm supposed to do in the first church of the book of Acts. I'm supposed to stand my ground. I'm supposed to walk holy. I'm supposed to get out there and preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. And I didn't even know that was available. I read it, but I didn't believe none of it. I never dreamed I could pray for somebody and get them healed. You know, didn't dream of it. But boy, have I seen many of them healed now. Thank you, Jesus.
Lori just whispered in my ear here. She just won 14 souls to the Lord here a couple of days ago. I run one. But anyway, Lori just whispered in my ear. She says, thank you, Jesus, because for so many years I was just like you was.
Yeah, amen. That's right. When we're just like I was, I don't think God's happy with us. But when you win one this week or 14, at least you're about His business. I know one's not enough. That's right. We need to be doing better. And if we're about the King's business, I believe with all my heart. Just like Cheryl, she here a while back, she had never led anybody to Jesus. Then we was out of town. She was over telling these girls about Jesus. And they want to get saved. But she said, well, let me lead you to Jesus. They said, no, we want your husband to do it. And so she was really heartbroken because they come over. I told her, no problem. You done all the legwork. I just got to lead them, so you're going to get that reward. But then the other day, we were up here, and she led two young girls to Christ. I mean, these two little girls, they ain't no way they're going to come talk to me, a man. Boy, she said, I'll go get them girls. See, she's a girl, see. She said, I'll go get them little girls. And she went over there, I think, what, 10, 12? 12 and 7. And before it was over, she led both them little girls to Jesus.
Amen.
Right there. So, hey,
amen.
See, there is some people I can't get through to. That little 7 and 10 or 12-year-old girl with what they'd been taught and me being a healing minister, they ain't even going to let me get close to them. They ain't going to let me touch them. But they'll let a lady come over and talk to them. And she led them both to Jesus. Now, that's what it's all about. But not as it was by one that sinned, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Next verse. For if by one man's offense, one man, Adam, because of his offense, death reigned by one. Don't take an offense. You don't have to. It comes to you, but don't take it. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more, much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Now, who are we talking about there? That's Jesus. By His, we shall reign. What does it mean to reign? I like that, don't you, Wendy? He's talking to you and me, girl. We shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Oh, that means, Ruby, you're supposed to be sick and afflicted and have seizures all the time. God forbid. It means you're supposed to take authority where the authority is given and you're supposed to kick out that devil and no more seizures. Right, girl? Woo! Walk in obedience to the Word. I got tickled at Brother John McCall, who was up there, and every service, he'd take at least 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how many people would come up. But he'd bring people up. He said, is there anybody here that's got pain? He said, you need to come up here. I don't want you to have to sit here with pain. And so anywhere from 5 to 10 or 15 people would come up, and he'd sit there, and he says, where's your pain? Well, my neck or my arm or my back or whatever. And he'd say, have you got unforgiveness towards somebody? Well, yeah, he said, God tolerates zero unforgiveness. He said, if you're not willing to get rid of that unforgiveness, I can't get you healed. But he said, you repent. So, whatever their sin was, and, you know, people don't realize the importance of sin. They don't know scriptures like this because ain't none of these people reigning. You know, they're just barely living. They're certainly not reigning. But the church is not reigning. Amen. You know, we're just living. You know, and we're living in torment like Ruby was all those years with her high blood pressure problem and her seizures and all that stuff. And then she got fed up with being sick and tired. And she got a hold of the Word.
Amen.
And her and her husband stood together and they kicked out them devils. But Brother John would have some of them say, he'd pray with them and everything and rebuke the pain and everything. And then he said, now what happened? Somebody said, wow, it's gone. He said, well, praise God. And I got tickled whenever, after two or three or four of them, would get healed, no pain. He said, and he said, you know, if this was a football game, and the guy just run a touchdown, y'all would be jumping up and screaming. He said, Jesus has run 4 touchdowns, ain't nobody even said nothing. And I thought, well, you know, he's right. He's right. And then he'd be a little lady, he'd come up there, you know, and she's, well, I got this pain in my arm. And he'd speak to it and everything. And he said, now what happened? She said, well, I got a little bit of pain left. He said, well, you want to keep it? Is it okay for just a little bit of the devil to stay in you? You know, you had a whole bunch when you come in here. You said on a scale of 1 to 10, you had about an 8 on pain. And now it's down to a 2. So you want to leave a little devil in you? I don't want any in me, do you? He said, okay, let me show you what to do. One more time, say, I repent of every sin. Now they said, a little bit of pain. He said, Mark 11:23, speak to it. Say, a little bit of pain. I bind you. I command you in Jesus' name to loose me and to go away from me and never come back in the name of Jesus. He said, he'd lead them through it. I said, you do that. And when they would do it, he said, now what happened to your pain? And every time, It's gone. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? You know why he said that the Lord told him to teach the people how to do that themselves? He said, you have the same power in you that I have in me. The same Jesus. You have the same ability, if you're walking in obedience to the Word, to speak to your pain. Because he said, the Lord showed me that they're fixing, it's not going to be long. That you're going to come to all pastors and they're going to take them out. And they're either going to put them in prison or they're going to behead them. All preachers are going to be killed in America. So he said, I ain't going to be here with you. He said, Thurman ain't going to be here with you. When you have pain, you can't say, oh, let me go down to that church. Thurman can lay hands on me and I know I'll get healed. And I can. And we've seen that. But do you know, if I can teach you, you got that same power in you. Yeah. You can be doing it the same way. Isn't it going to be something what we're getting ready to undergo in America? You know that law that Ted Kennedy passed the other day, that he hooked that onto one of the other bills. Some of you might have read it. Several people sent it out on the internet. But if he gets the fulfillment of that thing done, if I were to say something, even read it out of the scripture, about a person being a pervert or homosexual, I could be terrorized and fined just like a terrorist. Put me in the same level as a terrorist. And they can put me in jail and lock me up. Because that's a hate crime. It don't make a difference. God said I don't like perverts. But he also said I don't like murders. He also said I don't like lying. He said a lot of things, didn't he? He said I don't like adultery. I don't like fornication. So, you know. You know, the devil don't want us to teach the Word of God. You know it?
Amen.
So?
Tell me about the gift of righteousness.
That gift of righteousness, that Jesus is the gift of righteousness. He is the righteous one. And whenever you got saved and accepted Him, according to 1 Corinthians 5, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So that means you, this gift of righteousness, this free gift, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're supposed to become a new creature. A new man, a new woman. That old man and old woman is supposed to die. We're going to see that here in this book of Romans. So this gift of righteousness, again, everything that Jesus did for us is given to us as a free gift. All we got to do is receive it by faith. But if we will receive this gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I love reigning in life, don't you? I love, like Ruby. Is it better to reign in life with no sickness and disease, Ruby? Ooh, so much better. I mean, when she spent half of her vacation every year at home or sick, that ain't reigning in life, is it? You got bitterness and strife toward your next door neighbor. That ain't reigning. That's bondage. That's what makes us sick. We got to get over that nonsense. We got to walk holy and obedient to the Word of God. So therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Justification. I have been made just as if I had never sinned in my life. Now, praise God. Is that good news? All right, let's go to the next. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, who is made righteous? Anybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And aren't we grateful for that? Okay, now let's see what he says. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now then, let's go to the next chapter. 6:1-2. Now look what we've got here. It's wonderful what we've got. What should we say then? I'm once saved, always saved. Let me go out there and live with my best girlfriend. Oh, that ain't the way it is, Ernie.
No, that's not the way it is.
Let me get angry with my... Let me get angry and go to rage and all that kind of stuff. That ain't what it says either. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin? Absolutely. Grace. We're living under grace. Let's just live in sin. I can do anything I want to. Once saved, always saved. That's not what that says, is it? What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely. Absolutely is what the Word says, right? Praise God, I can sin all I want to. Is that what it says? How much sin can I have under grace? That doesn't fit a lot of churches, does it? What should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Then look at the rest of that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'll tell you how we can do it. We don't stay dead very well. I mean, somebody says, I ain't never seen nobody raised from the dead. Oh, you're lying there. You've seen a lot of people raised from the dead. If you've looked at a Christian, you've seen those that have died and rose, and died and rose. Is that true? Oh, we do a good job of dying for a little while, don't we? And then something happens we don't like. Wow. You talk about rising up. Wow, we said we can do a good job of raising this beast from the dead, can't we, Keith? Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's easy. But the Lord says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? How can we live any longer therein? How do you do it? How do you sin if you're dead to sin? If you're dead to sin, you don't. Yeah. But unfortunately, I don't care how sweet you are, how young you are, or how old you are. I mean, you know, we can go back to children, let a little 8-year-old child get saved. Man, you can get him saved at church, and he's the sweetest little thing, and he can walk out that door beating his sister in the head. Is that right? Yeah. And daddy's over there and said, let me get that switch a hold of you. Stop that. Stop hitting your little sister. Or the little sister's antagonizing him, you know. Hey, I mean, is that the same way we are? Yeah, we may do it a little differently, but that's exactly the way we are. How shall we, here, Paul is asking the question, God forbid that because of grace, once we get saved, that we should ever sin again. God forbid. We're not supposed to ever sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? His question is, how could we do this? You can't sin. You're dead. Okay, let's go to the next couple. Do you know you not? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? How many of you have been baptized? You know, when you went under that water, you're supposed to die. It's like I've said many times, the only problem, the old boy didn't hold me down quite long enough. He didn't hold me down long enough because I come up out of that water. Probably wasn't very long at all till I was already right back in sin. Amen. But I can look out and point a finger at all of y'all. Amen. And I know y'all been the same place I have, haven't we? Amen. Isn't that unfortunate that we do that? Yep. But we're learning, aren't we? We are learning. As many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. Should. That don't mean you're going to, does it? But we sure are going to put a good effort to it now we're learning this, aren't we? We're going to definitely put a good effort to walk holy and obedient to His Word. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now then, how much sin did Christ have in him?
None.
So how much are we supposed to have in us?
None.
Well, we don't do a very good job of this, do we? You know, how much sickness did he have in his life?
None.
Did he die for your sickness?
Yes.
Did he bear your sins?
Yes.
He bore your sins. You ain't supposed to have no sin. He bore your sickness and your pain, so you ain't supposed to have none as his child. But since he told us not to sin, so we won't have to have pain and sickness, we don't obey the first part very well. So when we go into sin, we open the door to pain and sickness.
Amen.
And death. Then he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now that's a good chore to keep that beast dead. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now see again, you notice he said we should not serve sin. So let's see what the next verse says. For he that is dead is free from sin. Are you dead? I think we're trying to die. I don't think we've none of us done a very good job of it yet. We're trying, though, aren't we? I mean, we have a hard time meeting up to this criteria, don't we?
Amen.
For he that is dead is free from sin. Boy, if I could get up every morning and say, Lord, I kill this thing today in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to let you live through me and your love live through me so I can love the brethren and everything and do everything according to your will. Woo! Wouldn't life be good if I could do that at the ministry center every day, 24/7? Everybody said, yes, praise the Lord, that would be great. Oh. In verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And you know, most of the Christian world has never realized that he's with you every day.
Amen.
Every day. When I turn to talk to you, I'm talking to Jesus. If he's in you.
Amen.
When I turn to talk to you, I'm talking to Jesus. If he's in there.
Amen.
So how should that affect the way we act? Should we get into unforgiveness toward anybody about anything? Should we take an offense from one of our brothers or sisters? No. Does it matter what they say? No, not at all. I mean, if this beast is dead,
amen,
then it can't be affected, right?
Amen.
But we find out how dead it is, don't we? A little bit dead? That's kind of like being a little bit pregnant.
Amen.
Just a little bit dead is just like being a little bit pregnant. No. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Verse 9 and 10. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. He paid the price. He rose from the dead. He's got it mastered. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, boy, if we could get to where we could go that. But in the flesh, he commanded us to do it. But I don't see many walking there. I know I don't all the time. Next couple of verses. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now that's almost a continual job every day, isn't it? When somebody says something, before you open your mouth, you have to stop and say, am I going to be dead to that subject or am I going to be alive to that? Am I going to reach out and get that guy? I mean, but that guy just cheated me out of $5,000. He told me he was going to pay me. And now he says he ain't going to pay me. Am I going to reach out and get him or am I going to stay dead? Ooh, it'll put you to the test, won't it? Every day. Every day. Put you to the test. I was put to the test one time like that and with money. A man I'd sold my house to. And he made payments on it for 4, 5, 6 years. And then all of a sudden, he stopped sending me the money. So I called him. And he said, well, I'm having a little financial difficulty. And I said, well, how long do you think you need? Well, he said, hopefully within another month or two, I should be back on my feet. I said, okay, no problem. So a couple months coming, I ain't getting no payments yet. So I went back over. I went over to see him. And, of course, by this time, he only owed me about $60,000. That's all he owed me, left on the house, about $60,000. And so I sat down with him and his wife, and I said, are y'all still going to church? He said, well, no, we haven't been to church in quite a while. I was so busy doing so many things, we quit going to church. I said, if you quit going to church, you quit tithing. Well, he said, Thurman, I mean, when I go to church, when I make money, I tithe. I said, nah, I don't think so. I said, if you were going to church and tithing, you wouldn't be where you are today. And I said, you know, this is the only place I found in the entire Word of God where God says you can put me to the test was when it comes to tithing. I said, so you wasn't tithing before. He said, well, I was giving what I could. I said, no, giving what you can and a tithe is two different things. A tithe is 10% of your gross income, you know, or if you're in business for yourself, then it's your net income. But if you're working for somebody and if they pay you $100 a week or $1,000 a week, if your gross income was $100 and they take taxes out of that and everything else, then you still owe God $10 out of that $100. That's your gross income. You owe the king that money. Yes, and I said, if you're not doing that, you're not tithing. And I said, that's why you're in the shape you're in. He said, you mean you think if I, my wife and I start going back to church and we start tithing off the little bit that we're making right now, that we would be able to meet the payments on this house? I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I have this much faith in my God. I said, you owe me what, about $60,000? He said, yeah, that's about what I owe you. I said, you and your wife start going to church, and if you tithe for 6 months and you're not able to make the payments on this house, I will give you the house. He said, you're serious about this stuff with God, aren't you? I said, I'm very serious. I know what my God will do. If you obey Him, He has bound Himself to His Word. And He can't do nothing but bless you. So you know what? They started going back to church, and the next month, my payment was there, and within 6 months, they'd caught up on all the back payments.
Amen.
And then a year or two later, the man, they decided to move somewhere else. They sold the house. And when they did, of course, I got the entire payoff and they paid me off. And I got about $50,000 at one time. They paid it off. I didn't lose a dime. Do you trust your God that much? Do you have that kind of faith in the King? I mean, after all, it's only money. It's only money. Are you going to let that money get into a problem between you and somebody and get you out of a relationship with God? The devil would love it. If you get into strife with somebody, and you know how easy it is when it comes to money, you know how easy it is to raise this beast from the dead. If somebody starts taking advantage of you in money, hey, it's real easy. It ain't worth it. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be alive unto His Word. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Like I was telling some young men at one of the meetings we were doing recently, I said, you know, somebody said something about how do we walk in the Spirit? I said, I'll tell you. If you feed your spirit, the Word of God, I mean, every day, I mean, you gorge yourself. You eat for 2 or 3 hours a day. And then you turn off the television, secular radio, newspapers, and all the junk of the world, and you let this flesh man starve to death every day. I said, then you walk in the Spirit. I said, now you young boys here, you're young, so I'm going to give you an example. You say, well, I'm walking in the Spirit. I say, okay. So you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you kind of glance over there, and boy, there's two real pretty girls just walked in that door. You're looking at them top down to bottom, top to bottom, top to bottom as they go off. Wow, look at them two good-looking girls. I said, you guys ain't walking in the Spirit. You're in the flesh. I said, now, I'm not going to let you ladies off that easy either. I said, so you drive down the road, and all of a sudden, you say, I'm walking in the Spirit, and somebody, your neighbor, comes up in a new red Porsche. You're running out and say, honey, they're trying to outdo us. You got to buy us a new red Porsche. You ain't walking in the Spirit either, girls. You're walking in the flesh. You're letting the flesh, you want to try to keep up with the old proverb, keep up with the Joneses. You don't want to live down the street in a little dinky house that's not painted perfect with a nice car sitting out in the front yard. One time I had a little Ranchero pickup, little Ford. It wasn't the best looking little truck in the world, but it was decent. It was about 10 years old. My neighbor, he always drove a brand new pickup. He came over one day and said, Thurman, why don't you trade off that little old pickup you get and get something nice? I said, because I don't need something. I said, that thing gets me to work and back. It gets good gas mileage. I said, I mean, I'm just one guy. It's paid for. I don't have no payments on it. It's cheap. It's economical to run. Why do I need a better one? He said, Thurman, we live in a real nice neighborhood out here in Highland Village. Oh, I said, so you don't like my little Ranchero sitting in the front yard out here where you got your nice, big, fancy truck? I said, well, get used to it because it's going to sit right there. Get used to it. I am not trading the beast off. I said, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who goes out and try to keep up with the Joneses. I could care less. You know, I just could care less. You know, I don't want to offend your brother, but I ain't going out and buy a new truck to make you happy. Because guess who's going to make the payments on that new truck? Me, that's right, and I don't want it. I'd rather have a little cheap one that's paid for, that I don't have to go there. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Because, I mean, we do a good job of obeying the lust. I mean, you think about the different kinds of lust that comes upon us. I mean, we lust for everything, don't we? Now, if you don't believe that they know how to do it, if you watch television, here a while back I turned on a little television show to watch a few minutes of something, and I guarantee every 5 minutes they had some kind of a commercial of the finest looking, fattest foods and everything else. I mean, man, you cannot even be hungry and watch 10 minutes of that, and you're starving. You think, I got to go to the refrigerator and get something to eat. Y'all know where I'm coming from? Oh, or they'll, you got a headache, we got the finest pill in the world. One of these will knock your headache for 16 hours, guaranteed, or your money back. And so, guess why people got their medicine cabinet? They walk down to the grocery store and they look at, oh, there's that pill. I saw that on television. Just like, I guess I better get a bottle of those and put them in my deal. Take them home with me. No, 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 no. When you get where Ruby's at, you don't need them pills no more, do you, girl?
Amen.
You don't need them pills no more. I mean, you can take a lot of them. You know, when I think about you getting rid of your seizures, I think about little Randy that had them for 20-something years and was on 20 different medications. I don't have any idea what his medical bill was a month. But he was having, what did he say, 2 or 3 or 4 seizures a week? Awful. And when he got rid of his sin, God delivered him of all that. And he'd be sitting right here, just a couple of healing schools back, and gave his testimony. Hadn't had a seizure in 2 years.
Amen.
Praise God. What do you need to get rid of? Sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. See, the Lord's telling us, let not sin therefore reign. But we do. We let it reign. He said that we obey it in the lust thereof. So let's go to 13 and 14, Jordan. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't let this hand, this eye, the leg, your sexual organs, anything else. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. When we get raised from the dead, we're supposed to be alive unto God.
Amen.
And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What should you use that hand for once you get saved? To praise the King and to make money, to meet other people, your needs and your other people's needs. Right? No more stealing with that hand, right, Kim? Can't reach in. I mean, people go in a store, walk in, you know. Reach over, take something off the shelf and put it right here. You know how easy it is to walk out with something? You know, here a while back, I walked into Walmart. I got three or four little old things. One of them was just a little bitty thing I needed, and I stuck it in my shirt pocket. You know, I mean, I did have, still had the tag on the crazy thing, and it didn't have nothing covering it up. You know, I paid for everything, walked out. The lady checked me out. I walked out, got in the truck, sat down in the truck, and I, oh my, there's that tag. I pulled that thing out, got right back in there, went right back. I said, ma'am, you forgot to charge me for this. I said, I had this in my shirt pocket. I put it in so I didn't have to carry it in my hand. She said, sir, you sure are honest. I said, ma'am, when you learn that Jesus is with you and the devil was sitting there waiting for me not to come back and he's going to have to make me pay for this seven times, I'd a whole lot rather pay for it once instead of seven times. So I said, you know, I know the consequences of sin and I'd a whole lot rather pay for it. That little thing may be worth what y'all charge for it one time, but it ain't worth seven times, I'll tell you for sure. So if it costs $2, it ain't worth $14. And I don't want to have to pay that. But he says, and your members as instruments of righteousness, for sin, look what he says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That sickness and disease shall not have dominion over you, Ruby. You don't have to stay home on your vacation and be sick. You don't have to have that. Sin, you don't have to sin. It's a choice every time we sin. It's a choice. Well, I think we ought to start choosing righteousness instead of sin, don't you? For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's as clear as you can get. I don't have to sin unless I want to, do I? It's a choice. He made a statement, sin shall not have dominion over me. Do I have to go out and get drunk? Just because somebody made me mad and cheated me out of $10,000, is that a good reason to go down to the bar and get drunk tonight and fuss about it for 2 hours? Wake up in the morning sick? How many people do you know do that? You used to, huh? You've learned. You got smart since then, though, haven't you? Way smart. Because you read scriptures like this, right? For sin shall not have dominion over you. You don't have to let that devil rule your life, do you? You're a son of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Now, you're only under grace when you meet that first part. When sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, you're under grace. You're under grace as long as you don't walk in sin. When you walk in sin, that's when you step out of grace back under the law. And that's when that devil loves it. Because then once you step back, once you fall from grace and step back under the law, he says, oh, there you are. Now then, you told a little bitty lie and you fell from grace. But he said, since now you're guilty of breaking all of them, let's say you committed adultery and murder. And he just goes right on down the list. So he said, I'm really going to get him today. The devil loves it. You know it? He knows the book a whole lot better than we do. I'll say that. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Next couple. What then? Seems like we read this right at the beginning, didn't we? Verse 6, chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace? Of course. Just go out and have all the fun you want to. God understands. There's no consequences. That's not what he said, is it? No. Again, here he's saying, started at the beginning of chapter 6, and here that verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid that a Christian would sin. Something wrong with this picture, isn't it? I think about the people that disobey God every day and live in total disobedience and think they're going to be okay when they die. It's scary. It's absolutely scary. Obviously, that's just like Dave was telling me the other day. He said, I don't know how I read this book as many times as I did And then once you showed me some of these things and I started reading it, he said, you can find these things in every chapter of the Bible. He said, it's all over the place. Isn't that amazing? Know ye not? Look at verse 16. This is so awesome. This is so powerful. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. Now, as a Christian, is he talking to Christians?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You and I can go either way, can't we? Look what he says. As a Christian, and if we obey whomever we want to, he says, if you obey sin, what will it lead to?
Death.
Now we wonder why so many Christians die prematurely. What are they yielding to?
Sin.
I mean, so, you know, when I was 20 years old, you know, I mean, somebody told me it wouldn't hurt anything. I'm a Christian. I could drink a little if I wanted to. You know, I could go out and get drunk on Friday night if I wanted to, you know, or I could smoke cigarettes, you know. And I guess I could if I wanted to. The Lord told me I could yield to whatever, right? But if I yield to drinking excessively and I yield to smoking cigarettes, then all of a sudden one day I'm 40 years old and I don't feel real good and I can't hardly walk across the street and I go to the doctor's office and he said, well, I'm sorry, you got emphysema and we're going to have to take out your lungs and put in some new ones, but we can't find none.
Wow.
So you got 3 months left to live. Lord, I'm only 40 years old. Well, I told you. It was your choice. If you yield your members to sin, it'll kill you. Is that what he said? Now, do I have to smoke?
No.
Do I have to drink? No. Do I have to lie? Do I have to commit fornication? I don't have to do none of those things, do I? But if I do, I can make the choice, can't I? He said I could choose. But he told me what the consequence was if I choose the wrong one. If I choose sin, what's going to happen to my physical body? It's going to die. It's going to die. But he says, or of obedience unto righteousness. Wow. I like that, don't you? Let's go to the next couple there, Jordan. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. We all were those servants, weren't we? I mean, yeah. You tell me somebody that walked in the devil's kingdom, which is where every one of us walked, you show me a human being that hasn't sinned, and I'll show you a man that's never been alive. You know, you ain't never been born if you ain't sinned, right? I mean, Ernest, as nice a guy as you are, we ain't going to go back to your bad days, are we? Ernest told me when we was out there, he told me, we got off the side and he said, Thurman, I wasn't the greatest guy until I got saved. I was kind of a little bit mean, he said. I don't know how far he meant to go there on that, but a little bit mean? Hey, I got a feeling all of us were a little bit mean. And some of us were really mean. You know what I mean? Some of us were really mean. I mean, and Paul told us a lot of us were like this. He said, you were liars, thieves, cheats, pervert, homosexuals. You were everything. Fornicators, adulterers. But he said, now you've been washed in the blood. You don't have to go there no more. You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And then being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See, we've all lived in that old world, didn't we? I don't want to be in that old world, do you? I don't want to make the wrong choice as a born-again Christian, knowing that making the wrong choice is going to cause my flesh to die early. My son told me about a young lady the other day that he was ministering to, and she was only 1 year older than he was. Now, Tim is 32. He's a picture of health. You know, never done drugs, none of that stuff. He's taken really good care of his body. Exercise, worked out. I mean, you know, man, he's strong. He can do anything he wants to do. And then I think about this young lady. He ministers to all kinds of people. Tries to get them in a physical fitness program, you know, that'll get them back into good health. And he said, Dad, this little girl, She was old. She was wrinkled. She had three children. But he says, when I found out she had lived in all kinds of sin, she's not married to the man she's living to now, she's a recovering drug addict, she's drink, she's smoked. He said, Dad, she's an old woman.
Wow.
And she's 33. What does he say sin will do to that body? It'll kill it. I'd hate to be 33 and look like I was 93, wouldn't you? Wow. I don't know about you, but I want to keep this one clean and pure. I am not going to put a drink of alcohol. I am not going to smoke a cigarette. I'm not going to put nothing in this flesh except something that glorifies God. Somebody said, well, if I smoke, would that keep me from going to heaven? No, but it may get you there quicker.
Amen.
I don't want to get there quicker, do you? Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be. Now then, verse 19 and 20. I spake after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Now, some of you, all of you, think about your life, especially, how many of you were over the age of 30 when you got saved? Wow, a whole bunch of you. If you were over the age of 30 before you got saved, go back and look at probably what your life was like until you got saved. Some of you lied, stole, committed adultery, fornication. I mean, you smoked, drank, cussed, did everything. But yet God, in His infinite grace and mercy, still saves you out of all that junk.
Amen.
Hey, aren't you grateful for that? Amen. We're grateful for that. Because if you hadn't got saved, you'd have been on the way to hell.
Amen.
But He makes, the more you learn about God's Word, the better man He makes out of you and me. You know that? And it's a lifelong deal. But when you were servants of sin, now this one, I don't want to go there. But when I was a servant of sin, I was free from righteousness. Now, I don't never want to be free from righteousness. Do you? I just can't fathom. Think of the multitudes of people out there that's free from righteousness. They've not made Jesus Lord of their life. And so they're bound in bondage to sin. And that sin will kill you. Many a mom and daddy prays over their children. And what's so devastating about it is, especially when a mother and daddy didn't know Jesus themselves, and they raised their children without the love and admonition of the Lord, and then one day at 40 or 50, one or both of the parents got saved. By this time, your kids are grown, and they're already out there in the world. Well, let me tell you, when you get saved, now you've got your work cut out for you. You're going to have to be on your knees a whole lot more praying for them children than you would if you had a mom and dad that loved God and they raised you up in the love and admonition of the Lord, and then you were fortunate and you got married to a young woman or a young man that had been raised up in the love and admonition of the Lord, and you started out, both of you, born again, Spirit-filled, and you have your babies, then they already have the Spirit of God in them right there. And they'll be a whole lot easier to bring to Christ. They won't take near the effort to bring them into the kingdom. It was that those children, that you didn't know God when you conceived them yourself. I mean, I've seen this many times. I've seen many examples where a young man, young woman, you know, they're living in the world. You know, maybe live together for a while, you know, doing all the things wrong, and maybe get pregnant, have one or two kids, then decide to get married, you know, and then kids get to be 6, 8, 10 years old, and then somebody comes along and tells them about Jesus. Now then they become instruments of righteousness. They got saved. And then after they get saved, they decide to have two more children. And they do. And the second two is like light and dark. You know what I mean, right? You can associate with that, right? Aren't we grateful for the love and grace of God? Oh. This little girl right here. I mean, she had hell on earth as a little girl. Her mother didn't know Jesus. Her mother ran off and left her. How old were you when your mama left you? 9 years old. Run off and left her with nothing. No support or nothing. A 9-year-old girl got to make it on her own. How would you like to have been in her shoes? I can't even fathom that. I can't imagine dumping a beautiful little 9-year-old girl and just walk off and leave her. How old are you, honey? You're 8? 10. You're 10. Just about the size of her daughter. Lisa's daughter's 10. Can you imagine a precious, beautiful little thing like this, only she's 10, and all of a sudden she come home today and there ain't nobody to take care of her. She's going to get no food, no drink, no nothing, and ain't nothing left. And she's put out on the street all on her own. What does sin do? Man, it's wicked, isn't it? It's wicked. But see, praise God. Lisa was really lucky. She finally come to know Jesus. Way on up there in life. And now she's so grateful for knowing the King.
Amen.
I mean, this is like that little lady, you know, that come in at the feet of Jesus and she's crying and she's washing His feet with her tears and she's drying His feet with her hair. That Pharisee over there said if he knew what kind of woman that was, he'd kick her off. Jesus looked at him and said, you know, I came in here and you didn't even give me no water for my feet. But this woman, she's washing my feet with her tears and she's drying them with her hair. He said, those that have been forgiven much, they love much. See, she knows where she come from. Some of you ain't never been there and I hope you never have to go there. I don't want to go there and I don't want my children or grandchildren to ever have to go there. And you don't want yours in the future to go there, do you? No. You want to be able to raise this little gal up in the love and admonition of the Lord? And then she marries some young man that's on fire for Jesus and bring you some grandbabies into the world that come up automatically knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. See? And what they don't know, you will. And you'll teach them, won't you? Amen. That way they won't get off on the wrong track. But this sin deal, man, when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. I do not want to be free from righteousness. I want to be bound to righteousness. Don't you? Let's go to the next couple. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Well, you know the kind of fruit that comes out of those things you're ashamed of? Lung cancer. Tumors. Death and destruction. I don't want to have that kind of righteousness, do you? But now being made free from sin... Now, this is supposed to be you and me today. When we got saved, we're supposed to be made free from sin and become servants of righteousness and become servants to God, and you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What kind of fruit are we supposed to produce?
Holiness.
Love, joy, and peace. We're supposed to go out and win people to Christ. We're supposed to about it, pray over the sick. We're supposed to do something for Jesus. We're supposed to read His Word. Are we not?
Amen.
Last verse, 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, if you walk in obedience to His Word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, which one of those two do you want to pick? Hey! I believe you're about half smart today, Artis. Maybe three-quarters smart. You know that? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you're going to be smart like Artis. You're going to choose the bottom one? Praise God. We sure ain't going to choose none of that other one. That other one, man, the wages of sin is death. You know, I read that all... I mean, I don't know how many times I quoted that as a Southern Baptist, but I never did know what it meant. I'm serious. The wages of sin are death. I always thought, well, that's someday, you know. That's eternal death. That don't mean if I go out and sin today, it'll bring forth death. But that's exactly what it says. If I go out and sin, it'll bring forth death. Okay, we're going to do communion. We need to get those people that are going to take the communion, and they're going to start passing out everything. And I want you, if you got any kind of sin in your life, I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to make sure that you're that clean, holy instrument that has presented yourself unto Him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. Make sure you have died to sin, and then ask Him to help you stay dead to sin this week, that you can live and love in righteousness. You want to be there. As you take this unleavened bread, this bread is unleavened, and this juice, we use grape juice. I mean, I realize under the way it's written, you could use fermented wine if you wanted to, because Paul talked about them taking too much of it and getting drunk. But I ain't even going to give you an option. I'm going to let you drink grape juice. And if you don't like it, well, then talk to the Lord about it. Maybe He'll do something about it. But I like using grape juice, and I like using unleavened bread, because in my Savior, our Savior, there was no sin. So there's no leaven in this, and that's why we use unleavened bread. Also, this bread, Jewish bread, you see it's got holes in it and it's stripes on it. It's a symbol of His actual body and what He did for us. And He said, if you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you have nothing in me. I want to be in Him, don't you? I absolutely want to be in Christ. So make sure you have every sin repented of, that you spend a few minutes just you and God, talk to Him. He's there with you. He's in you. He knows everything you've done, good and bad. So if He brings anything to your mind, Lord, if I sinned here, I've done this, Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I repent. Now, Lord, I won't go do it again next week. And I sure won't do it today before the day's over again. Everybody been served? We still got a few? Or like a little? Okay. I appreciate all these that take time to put out the juice and the bread and everything and pass it around. But after all, we are the body, are we not?
Amen.
We're the body of Christ, and we're supposed to work together. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful for this piece of bread. That's a symbol of Your body. That by Your stripes we were healed. Thank You, Lord, that You paid the price so that if we'll walk in obedience to Your word and we will die to sin, like You said, and live unto righteousness, we can walk in this faith that You've given us, and we do not have to walk in sickness and disease. As Ruby had told us today, for the long time she's had the problem, when she finally decided no more, and she got rid of it, and she's off of her medication and everything. And we praise the Lord for the Lord revealing Himself to Ruby that way. Now thank You, Father, for this bread, which is a symbol of the Son's body that paid the price for us. And we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. And Father, we thank You for this awesome blood. This juice is a symbol of the most powerful thing in the universe. It was able to clean me and each one of these people in this room and everybody in the world from every sin they've ever committed. And if they'll repent, even all those they will commit in the future. But help us as a church, Lord, not to walk in sin. Help us to walk in love. Thank You, Lord, for the price You paid when we were yet wicked sinners. Lord, I can't even fathom that on my own. I got a son, but I couldn't think. I don't know anybody on this earth I'd give him for. I just couldn't go there, Lord. I might give myself for somebody, but I couldn't give my son. I can't even grasp that, Lord. And most of us probably feel the same way. Lord, thank you that you poured out your wrath upon your only Son so I could be free. So all of us can be free. We are so grateful. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, no Tuesday night Bible study. We'll be here next Sunday. We'll be here the second Saturday. Is this this Saturday? Okay. Next Saturday, we'll be here for a healing school. Next Sunday, we'll be here for worship service. And then every Sunday until the end of November 25th or whatever it is. And we'll have another healing school in November here also. And then the next one after that in December, everything in December, will be out at the Minister Center, where we have the Minister Center, and I think we've got information and maps and everything. We don't have maps yet, but we will have very shortly. And so, anyway, some of you have already come by to see where the new church is going to be, and that's okay. We don't have a problem with that. You can come by anytime you want to. We're just going to be busy. You know, now, if you come by, don't expect us to stop working, you know, and take you in and have coffee with you or tea, because we ain't going to do that. We're going to try to be as, well, if you come out, we're going to put a shovel in your hand or a hammer or something. So unless you want to work, don't come out. This is going to be a working 2 months, I can tell you for sure. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but if I don't stop and talk to you, and I tell you, when I'm trying to put up forms, you walk up, don't expect me to stop and talk with you. I've got a church to build, and I love you and everything, but I got a problem to get this church built, and I can't do it standing around. So up until now, we could people could come out, we could take them into the kitchen and drink tea and whatever, and sit around and talk for an hour or two or three, but I can't do that now. I have no spare minutes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for giving us the knowledge and the wisdom to build this building. Thank you for giving us the resources to build the building. And thank you, Lord, for blessing us when we move into our new building. And, Lord, we are so grateful for all the years that we've had to use this building, and especially those last few months whenever Fred and them haven't even charged us for this building. We're so grateful for that. May you bless them. And bless them abundantly because they blessed us. Now, Father, thank you for your love and your grace for all of us, your church. We are so grateful. And bless everybody with a great day today and a great week this week. And inspire all of us to be out about your business, to lead somebody to Jesus, or just do something good for somebody. But whatever gift you've given each one of us, Lord, may we use it for your glory this week. And thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.